We're going to go ahead and get started on time out of respect for everybody's time. It is 1 o'clock. So first, I want to welcome everyone and we'll do introductions. So I know that the screen kind of moves on me. Could we go ahead and start with our director, Emily?
Hello.
Hello.
Were you doing introductions? Sorry.
Yeah, let's just do a quick introduction. We'll go around for the podcast and do the introduction. So Emily is...
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. Emily Ward, IDB director.
Thank you. Marcella.
Marcella Edmonds, resource specialist.
Thank you. Mark.
Mark Edge. I'm a independent living rehabilitation teacher. My service region includes sharing Polk County with another teacher, and then I have five other additional Central Iowa counties.
Okay, Julie.
Hi, I'm Julie Skinner. I'm the independent living secretary.
Thank you, Kelsey.
I'm Kelsey. I am. Hansen, Kelsey Hansen. I am also an independent living teacher, and I cover about 18 counties in Northeast Iowa.
Great. Lori.
Excuse me. Hi, I'm Lori Berglund. I am also an independent living rehabilitation teacher, and I cover 18 counties in Northwest, North Central Iowa.
Okay, great. Next is Monica.
I am Monica Vineski, and I am also an independent living rehabilitation teacher servicing the west coast of Iowa.
Great. And then we have Susan.
Hey, I'm Susan Howard. I'm also an independent living rehabilitation teacher, and I cover 15 counties in the southeast.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. And I'm Kim Walford. I'm the Independent Living Program Manager here at the Department for the Blind. And I'm pleased that everybody that's here joined. Thank you very much. And of course, I do have to open it to public comment. Anybody have any public comments? Okay, hearing none. Emily? Would you like to start us off with your quarterly update, please?
Thank you, Kim. I apologize if there's background noise here. I'm actually in the middle of a immunotherapy treatment right now, but I wanted to make sure that I come and speak with y'all today. Starting off, the topic most people want to know about, our budget. We did receive approximately $145,000 more than what was in the governor's budget when it all was said and done through the legislature. That has not been signed yet, so it's not necessarily official, but that's what was passed by the legislature. And we are extremely appreciative of the legislators who were involved in that. We are working on the whole process of closing out state fiscal year 23 and then getting state fiscal year 24 set up. Accounting is mostly doing that work. Fortunately, it's not me. And so, we'll be making, some planning decisions for the coming state fiscal year, and then there'll be time to start planning our ask for state fiscal year 25. Hard to believe, but that's what we're we'll be doing. Speaking of 2025, that will be the 100th anniversary of IDB. So we will be, working on starting and ramping up to celebrate that. So our chief information officer, Connie Mendenhall, is already starting to work to put together people to work on some projects related to that. One of those projects is going through some of the materials that we've collected for our website on the History of Blindness in Iowa site, and finding ways to kind of curate and highlight some of that. We will be having a new website within the next couple of weeks. So what we're going to be, it's a completely new design. The entire state government is adopting a common design, and it looks really good. Very excited that it's very accessible and that they prioritize accessibility in the creation of the website and in the selection of the vendor to do the work with redesigning the website. So if folks are interested in what it will look like, the governor's site is currently done and up. So if you go to the governor's portion of iowa.gov, and that will give you a taste of the layout, and there's a lot more options for things that we can do with our website. We could probably have a calendar that actually delete items off of it once they're passed. We're really excited about that. That's something we've never been able to get to work right on Drupal, on the Drupal version that we were on. So a lot of opportunities for creating information for folks that is easier to get at. And that's really what we're looking at doing, is making it as straightforward and easy to get information that people need as possible. So we'll be, Connie is working hard on that, and we'll be getting that going within the next couple of weeks, I believe, is the launch on that. So that's pretty exciting. In terms of other exciting computer-related things, we are hard at work on the migration to our new case management system. We're looking to go live with that the middle of November at this point. And it's quite a bit of work and quite an undertaking to go from a system that we've been using for almost 20 years into a new system. And so there's a lot of translation of our old data. Data migration is a little bit complex. Also, you know, getting the system set up, to meet our needs is another process that we're working through with the vendor. They've been very responsive to our needs. We're actually kind of the guinea pig a little bit for their system, and so we're helping them out a little bit, understanding some of the federal regulations and requirements that they're not aware of, particularly around independent living. And so that has been quite a bit of work, but we've got everybody working away on that, and we're really excited for how that's going to come out. I think it's going to make things a lot simpler and faster, particularly on the IL side, but I think across the board for everybody interacting with the system. I think we're going to have a little less unnecessary stuff that we don't need to necessarily. We're not required to collect, but it's kind of blips, legacy impacts of the system, over time, and some of the glitches that we've developed over time as technology has changed as well. So we're excited to be moving forward with that. I want to make sure to mention to folks that we are hosting a technology fair on May 19th from 1 to 4. All are welcome. We're going to have different vendors selling access technology, consumer groups talking about their programs around access technology, our techs talking to folks about the ways that they can use the accessibility features built into the mainstream technology. And so it's going to be a fair with folks who can be able to kind of walk around and talk to folks and put their hands on the equipment. So really excited. We did one of those last fall again, and we hadn't done that since before COVID. And now we're excited to be able to do those again for folks. So that's on May 19th from 1 to 4. So that is everything I have on my list. Are there any questions?
Emily, the tech fair, this is Marcella. The tech fair is going to take place in the assembly room?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
All righty, well, back to you, Kim.
Hey, thank you, Emily. We appreciate you taking time to come. And if you feel that you can stay for the balance, we would appreciate it. But if you have, you know, other plans and you need to leave, we understand. So I want to take just a little bit to acknowledge that May, every May is a month that is that we celebrate the Older Americans Month, and independent living also serves Iowans who are older and blind. This is also something that our federal funders put out to all of us, that the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Community Living announces that this is something that they want us to remember. The Older Americans Month was established in 1963, so that was some time ago, and it was actually enacted because back in those days, about a third of older Americans did live in poverty. I'm not sure what the numbers or the stats are today. That can be found on their website. But it's really great that we have our programs that we do today, especially for those who are 55 and older who can access our programs, because we have the ability to network those individuals who might have a need or interest in returning to work to refer them to our program, our vocational rehabilitation program. So that really works very nicely for individuals who need additional training or want that additional training. Anyway, every president since Kennedy issued this formal proclamation during or before the month of May, asking that the entire nation pay tribute in some way to older persons and their communities. So I did want to make sure that we made this announcement here today, that in some way, shape, or form, if each of us could make some sort of contribution to celebrate individuals who are 55 or older, somehow that they could benefit, we could benefit local programs, either through centers or serving individuals who are older, to please, you know, do what you can and try to contribute in some way to celebrate the Older Americans Month, which again happens every May. All right, moving on to our independent living integration, we have that scheduled for June 4th, which is a Sunday, through Friday, June 9th. There were five clients that were nominated and all were accepted. We just recently learned that unfortunately one person for personal reasons had to drop. So we have four currently that will be participating. Our program partner is with the Iowa Blindness Empowerment and Independence Center. And this will help to bring a group of clients to, you know, our Des Moines Center here and our agency, where they can receive that in-depth training Monday through Thursday. And then that's all day long from 8 to 4:30. And then Friday, they're going to meet from 8 a.m. to 11:30, at which time they'll pack up and leave for the day. Now, the center will match their students up to help mentor the independent living clients for the week. And that's really a, you know, a great benefit to the independent living clients. So this great group training and classes then are led by our center instructors, along side by side with our independent living teachers assisting with the training throughout the week. So the teachers, the independent living teachers, will be available also to provide guidance and counseling to clients who might need that service throughout the week. All classes are customized and designed through the instruction and training to help each person learn new skills and build their confidence which in the end is going to help empower all of these blind Iowans to achieve their desired level of independence ultimately when they return home. So we're very excited about this. We're also going to be bringing in two blind consumer organizations. We have this confirmed that the Iowa Council of United Blind chapter here in Des Moines, as well as the National Federation of the Blind of Iowa chapter for Des Moines, will partner with us to host one evening during this week-long training. One will take Monday evening, the other will take the Tuesday evening. And so during that time, clients are going to be served a meal, then they're going to hear a program about each consumer group, and hopefully they'll rub elbows and make some friends and exchange information and decide whether or not they might want to join one of the consumer groups or both. So again, we're very excited about this training opportunity. We'll have another training opportunity aligned for later this year, and we'll talk about that in our next upcoming IL forum. We have, as Emily mentioned, a new case management system we've been working on. We've been spending a lot of time with that and developing the new case management system, which is greatly needed. My hope, just to kind of hop on the bandwagon and add to what Emily has said, is to optimize our workflow, increase transparency, as well as optimize our reporting, our report outs to our federal and state funders, as well as consider potentially, I'm not saying for sure, but potentially if there would be any self-serve portals available to our clients. So I am really looking forward to seeing what this new system will look like and the positive things that will come out of it. A little bit of statistical information that might be of interest that I just pulled from eForce from October through yesterday's date, I believe, is that we've had 52 of our clients who were successfully rehabilitated, meaning their cases were closed. 26 individuals did apply for our program. However, they were found ineligible, and that simply means they may have otherwise been eligible but decided they didn't want to move forward, or they may have been truly ineligible for our services. In all, we have 215 cases that are currently open and active. Now, there may be some other cases that are, some of these cases are in progress, and so they're just being processed in terms of application, or the teachers are working on their plans. So we're doing our work every day. We are out there in the field giving presentations. And so we are trying to build cases as we go along. We still encounter situations post-COVID where we are finding some facilities are not allowing us in because of the COVID situation. So we still work in a positive manner and moving forward in that area. I do want to give some updates on the Olmsted meets quarterly, and this is a group of folks that meet to discuss matters related to cross disability. Their focus has mostly been on the Department of Justice investigation related to Woodward and Glenwood. They are getting ready to close those facilities and move individuals out of those facilities into other facilities or independent living situations that are appropriate. We have already been receiving some referrals for individuals who live there who are blind. And I imagine Marcella, who is our resource specialist, will also get referrals for not only independent living, but for the vocational side. So what does all of this mean? Well, there was evidently some huge to-do that you probably seen in the paper, and there was a court order to close both facilities. An agreement was based on the Department of Justice findings from the Glenwood Resource Center investigation that had been reached through negotiation with the Department of Justice and the Iowa Department of Human Services. And the resulting document that can be found online, if anybody would like it, I can send it to you. It's quite lengthy, lays out the issues that was identified in some research that was done that should not have been done, is my understanding, by that was identified by the Department of Justice, DOJ, and how Iowa would remedy those items. So everything was finalized as of January 11th, and Iowa has been monitoring and keeping track of the progress on the 300 items that they laid out. They also, Department of Health and Human Services has been working with the University of Iowa to hire a chief medical officer to oversee the quality of medical care in the meantime for the clients that are living there at the facility. The second part of the report that was issued on all ADA compliance by the state of Iowa and work on the second consent decree on those issues contained while the state continues to work on community integration and building capacity is listed in there as well. Now, Glenwood is slated to close by July 1st, 2024. So what I think might happen, and I mean, I don't know for sure, once folks get transitioned to their own apartments or if it's a group home or wherever that might be, we might possibly see more of an increase in referrals at that time. That would be just, I mean, it's speculation, but that's what I would anticipate. So that's again, July 1st, 2024. That would be the Glenwood closure. As of January 12th of this year, there were 113 individuals residing at the Glenwood Institution and 121 individuals at Woodward. So I don't have the closure information about Woodward. I do not know what day. I couldn't find a date. I'm sure there is a date somewhere, but I don't have a date for them. And I'm not sure if Emily knows the date, but I do not. But I do know that 36 individuals have already left Glenwood since the closure announcement. And I do know that some of our teachers have already been serving some of those clients. I would believe it would be either Lori or Monica, possibly Mark, over in that neck of the woods. I'm seeing heads shaking over in that neck of the woods. So the state has been working on the issues related to the consent decree for more than 3 years, just so that you're aware. And will engage in the consent decree work for at least 5 more years. So this is a work in transition, and they do want those individuals who have been served by these two institutions to receive high quality services and are doing their very best to ensure individuals have real options for community living. So again, I just wanted everybody to know up front that it's very possible that not only our independent living program, but possibly our VR program could be getting some, you know, when I'm saying these numbers, 113 and 121 people, not all of them are blind. but there is going to be a portion of them that I'm sure we're going to get some referrals on. So, all right. I'm going to move on and talk briefly then about the State Independent Living Council. I meet with them on a regular basis as well. We usually have quarterly meetings, but I also work on their Resource Development Committee. We do meet virtually for that committee. We've already had one meeting canceled because of the executive director's scheduling priorities. But I seen just yesterday, I had several rescheduled meetings on my calendar. I didn't have really a chance to take a look at it because she was doing it near the end of the day. But I seen some additional meetings hitting my calendar along with cancellations. So I need to take a look at that again today. But I will be meeting with the State Independent Living Council along with helping them on their resource development, just providing input to the development of what they wish to do in terms of developing resources for their Independent Living Council. So it keeps me busy. I really appreciate what our teachers do here. I know they all work very hard to ensure quality services and timely services, as well as getting out there and speaking to the masses and letting them know about our services. I've heard people say just recently with Mark and going out to speak with the Des Moines Women's Club, you're the best kept secret, but I know we're not. It's just, you know, when you have to serve 99 counties and we don't really have a budget to advertise through radio, where we depend on free advertisement, PSAs and that sort of thing. And Susan's done that, and some of the other teachers have attempted to do that before, and we just do in-person speaking engagements or virtual. It's challenging at times to hit masses, right? But we do the best we can, and we ask for the public's help in getting the word out. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that's all I have. If there are any questions from whoever's on the meeting with me today, I'm open to entertain questions, or you can call me after the meeting. Anybody have any questions? Okay, if not, I'd like to yield back for the to the teachers then. Shall we start with Lori?
Good afternoon. As I mentioned earlier, I am an independent living rehabilitation teacher, and I work in 18 counties in Northwest and North Central Iowa. I currently have about 33 clients that I'm working with, and I'm happy to report that three of them are getting close to completing all of their objectives successfully. I hosted a CBT in Spirit Lake in March, and it turned out that the participants already knew each other. They just didn't know that they were receiving services from the department, so they had a good time, a good time catching up. From that CBT, they are actually planning to start a support group in the area because there's nine of them that are currently receiving services. And so they're excited about getting to know each other a little bit better. I have had three speaking engagements, one each month, so March, April, May. And then I have a fourth scheduled in July. I've been working with my clients on some advocacy. I had a client who needed to get a replacement Social Security card. And so she was able to access the machine with some assistance from technology. There was only one piece of the application that she was not able to complete independently. But other than that, she was able to do it all by herself, and she was really excited about that. So we were able to educate the employees at the Social Security office about working with blind individuals. So that was a good day. I've also done some outreach with healthcare facilities and some independent living facilities to help them better understand also how to serve and help blind residents that they have, and some of the etiquette around that interaction. I've also worked with some clients to refer them to Lifeline and the Affordable Connectivity Program to help them offset costs related to internet access and smartphones. So it's been rather busy. Any questions?
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you.
Mark.
Hi, everyone. So again, my service region is in Central Iowa. I cover 6 counties, which includes Polk County, which I share with Alyssa Munsterman, another independent living rehabilitation teacher who's not here today because she's off on maternity leave. But most of my clients I serve are in Polk County. Over the winter, I partnered with Alyssa and Susan in doing 2 community-based trainings in the month of February. It was February 21st and February 22nd, held here at the Iowa Department for the Blind. And the focus of those trainings were on meal preparation. It was kind of tailored around a group of clients that we have who had on their training objectives the need to do meal preparation. And I'm just so pleased with how that turned out, that everyone had such a good time and that they are all cooking now in their own homes after that experience. And then on March 22nd, I assisted Susan with a community-based training in Davenport, and Quinn was there as well. As Kim mentioned, on April 26th, we presented to the Des Moines Women's Club, and there were 35 guests in the audience for that. And it was just, I discussed what is blindness and what are the services of the Iowa Department for the Blind. And we also put out a message that we do appreciate volunteers and that we could use volunteers to help the independent living program in the office. And we would always welcome volunteers who could maybe do some fundraising for us to help keep our program sustainable. And so the reception was great. They had a lot of good questions. And as a result, I have 2 more speaking engagements so far lined up, both to PEO chapters. I just scheduled one of those for July 17th. I'll be speaking in Johnston to a PEO chapter. Another speaking engagement I have lined up is for June 21st. I'll be presenting to the Ames Low Vision Support Group. I will be one of the staff members working the IL Integration Week, June 4th through the 9th. And of the 4 clients, I do have 2 of those clients are my own. And so really excited for them to be a part of that. I have been, while Alyssa's been out on maternity, I've been serving 6 of her clients here in Polk County and taking any applications that have come in for Alyssa. For people wanting IL services. So I've been doing her applications for her. And so she will come back to some new clients on her caseload. Many of these new clients are my own. I've been really recruiting and encouraging them to participate in the local blindness support groups. We have an active blindness support group that meets here at IDB once a month. It's called the Blindness Empowerment Support Team, otherwise known as BEST, of Greater Des Moines. And they meet at the department on the 3rd Thursday of every month. And so last month and this month, I'll have new clients attending that. And then also Ames has a very active support group. And I have some new clients attending that group as well. I Kim and I are both on the board for Lifelong Links, and Lifelong Links is a program administered by the area agencies on aging, and the advisory board meets here once every quarter, and I attended their meeting yesterday. It was held at the Iowa Center for Independent Living, at Park Fair Mall. And it's really a group of other service providers. And we all learn so much about services that are out there that our clients could maybe benefit from. And one of the interesting things I learned yesterday, I haven't even had a chance to share this with Kim, but the person from the Iowa chapter of the American Parkinson Disease Association reported that Des Moines University has a volunteer fair every fall, and agencies can have a table, and the students at Des Moines University go around to learn about what volunteer opportunities exist. And so this organization got student volunteers to help them with, they have a dance program for persons with Parkinson's, because the exercise and the dancing helps with balance and their health. And so they meet at Des Moines Ballroom Dance Studio, and the students are volunteers for that organization to be the dance partners of the people that have Parkinson's. So I thought, oh, what a great opportunity for IDB to recruit volunteers by having a table next fall at Des Moines University. So definitely going to check into that. Another opportunity I learned about is here in Polk County, next week there is a health fair at the Iowa State Fairgrounds. I just learned about it this week, so it's too late for me to get a table, but I'm definitely going to look into how I can get a table at the next senior health fair they have at the fairgrounds so that we can promote independent living services. So I was really excited to hear about that. Otherwise, always busy. I think that pretty much covers it. So does anyone have any questions for me? All right, thank you.
I just want to acknowledge that we have a guest that just popped in. Hello, Thomas, how are you? And he is on mute. I hope he can unmute and say hello, because I don't have those controls. So I just, hi, Thomas.
Well, thank you, Kim. I'm glad to be here. It's so wonderful to hear everybody's voice. So go on with the meeting. So okay. Thank you.
Great. So, yes, thank you, Mark. I appreciate that report out. Next, we have Marcella.
Hi, everyone. This is Marcella Edmonds, the resource specialist for IL. I receive referrals for VR, IL, in the library, and the emails come through. They're submitted through our website. I also get referrals by phone calls or by mail. And whenever I get a referral in through the mail, and if it has library interest, I always give that to Jody. And then Jody takes care of the library part on her end. And then I also keep tallies of phone calls that I receive from month to month. For the month of March, I had 52 calls. For the month of April, ending on the 19th of April, because I went on vacation, I had 30 calls. And then I'm also, and then Julie received my calls when I was gone on vacation, so she would probably have count for the rest of the end of the month. And then I also do some work with Lona Pool, working with Wes, and also working with Amina and Martha Harris. And it's been a pleasure working with Martha, and sad that she's going to be leaving us, but, you know, I'm sure they'll get somebody to replace her. And then also the room that they, that Emily and Wes set up all the devices and stuff in the room on the first floor. It's really nice how they set it up, and, you know, I really like it. It's very nice down there. The only thing is I don't have a key, and that's fine. So when I need to get devices from that room, I just email Janice in advance, and we set up a time when I could stop by her office to use her key to get into that room. But I think Wes did say maybe in the future that they would have a different access for to enter that room with the devices. So then I won't have to be emailing Janice in the future for that. And then also I've been doing some filing for Julie whenever she asks me and it's needed, so she can get some of her filing done that she sometimes don't get to, because she's been very busy working on that new computer system that we're trying to get here. And that's all I have for today. Does anyone have any questions?
Thank you, Marcella.
Thank you.
We're glad you made it back from vacation. We always need your help here.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, next on the list is Kelsey.
So I have been very, very busy the last few months. So I have a couple new IL clients, but I've also done, I believe three speaking engagements recently. And the most recent one I did with Lori. So those went really, really well. I'm in the process of starting a support group in the Waterloo area. We've had one meeting, and that is the third Monday of every month from 1 to 3 at the private dining room in the Bridges Senior Living Lifestyle community. And that address is 214 Washington Street in Waterloo, if anybody's interested. And so it's, like I said, we've only had one meeting. So the next meeting is on Monday, May 15th. And so far it was a really good turnout last time. So I'm very excited and hopeful to see where this support group ends up going. So I'm just kind of helping them start it, and then I'll take a step back. Other than that, just been working with clients, and that's about it.
Thank you, Kelsey. Susan, you are next on the list. Susan?
Hi. Yep, I'm Susan, and I cover typically the 15 counties in the Southeast. Starting about the middle of March, I've been covering Alyssa's area while she's on maternity leave. So that's, I think, 13, 14 counties. Some of this will be a repeat. Like Mark said, on February 21st and 23rd, I helped with the community-based training in Des Moines. On March the 22nd, we did one in Davenport, and we had four participants at that, and Quinn and Mark did come over and help. And we worked primarily on meal preparation and then some travel. They also had some time to chat among themselves, and I think they had some really good discussions. I know from that CBT, there's some interest in having another one, branching off of what we had started that day. And there also is some discussion. One of the gals is interested in getting a support group started in Davenport. So hopefully we'll be able to work on that in the coming months. On March 30th, Quinn and I did a community-based training in Cedar Rapids, and we focused that on travel. And so what we did was we met at the bus depot, and we had someone from the Cedar Rapids Transit come and talk to the group about just the ins and outs of taking the city transit. And I think they had some really good discussions around that. Then we took a bus our goal was to go to Nubo Market. It's in Cedar Rapids. So they were having some construction. So it turned out to be really good because we had to rethink our route. And so that took some work. So we rethought our route. We got dropped off a few blocks away. And so we had to walk from the bus stop to Nubo Market. And then they got to go in and order and eat all wearing their sleep shades. So that was great. And then we missed the bus back. So we walked back. So again, that was really, really a good, ended up being a really good travel day for everybody. On April 17th, I had a speaking engagement with the Ottumwa Senior Dining. And I am helping with IL integration this go around. So that'll be in June. And I think that's about all I've been up to.
Thank you, Susan. We have Monica. Hi, Monica.
Hello. Like I said earlier, my name's Monica, and I service 14 counties on the west side of Iowa. And applications, I would say, are coming in pretty steady, but closures are also pretty steady, so it's staying pretty constant. I did a CBT at the end of March in the Council Bluffs area for three people. There's another one I'm in the process of planning for the end of June. There's been a lot of outreach going on in this area, one of which is building a relationship with the Siouxland Center for Active Generations that I'm really excited about, because they have four things laid out for me that they would like me to come participate in, one of which is a table at their health fair that's coming up on May 23rd. It is from 1 o'clock until 3 o'clock at the Center for Active Generations on Cook Street in Sioux City, if anybody's interested. They also would like me to write up what we do for independent living services, like a paragraph or two, so they can recurrently put it in their monthly newsletter. I don't know when, but there's a local radio show in Sioux City on a local radio station. They would like me to come talk about what we do. There's another event going on there, and they haven't decided where they want me yet, but they have a summer picnic. I believe it's in July, and then they have a Thanksgiving meal and dance where they have almost like another informational health fair where they'd like me to come attend one of those two as well. So that's a lot to do there. And there's two other public speakings I have. One is a Zoom next week with the Connections Program in the Council Bluffs area, because they reached out to me and said they thought that IDB and Independent Living Services was probably an underutilized resource for them, so they wanted to learn some more. And in Red Oak, there is the Arlington Senior Residential Center, and they're having me come to talk too because they have some residents there that are experiencing blindness and would like to learn some more information. So a lot of public speaking is coming up. And I think that's about it.
Thank you, Monica. Mm-hmm. So just a couple of things on the teacher's end. Some of you that might be listening to our podcast may wonder how Alyssa's doing. She and her new baby are doing great. She said to me she's looking forward to returning to work. That's going to be around June 13th or 14th. So her beautiful baby is doing just terrific. But we sure are looking forward to having her back in the saddle. So I wanted to make that quick announcement. Quinn sends his regrets that he can't be here with us today, but he did ask me to let everyone know things are going terrific in his area, and I concur with him on that. He also wanted me to let everyone know that he does have an upcoming speaking engagement with the Linn County Blindness Support Group. I believe that might be led by Jonathan Ice still. So he's looking forward to that speaking engagement. And so I've done my diligence to report that out. And so I want to open it up to anyone who might have any questions for, well, let me back up. Julie, do you have anything that you want to add to the group as well?
No, not at this time.
Okay, great. Are there any questions from anyone to the teachers or anything that's been presented? Okay, I do want to make one small quick note here. There is an Iowa State plan out on agency. The fiscal years run from 2022 to 2025. If you get anything across your email or have an interest in taking a look at that, please feel free to engage, or if they have anything that comes out that says, hey, would you like to participate in, coming to an open forum to give your opinion, you might want to think about that, because all of us are, aging in place and moving forward with life. And I saw a lot of really good, as I was reading their plan, I saw a lot of good information in there regarding informed decision and self-determination. A lot of good things that were in there regarding how they're wanting to ensure quality services for older Iowans, over the next, few years here. So if you have an interest in reading and getting involved, that state plan is out there also for your bedtime reading. All righty. So having heard no questions and having opened that for questions and no one said anything, I want to announce that our next meeting time will be Wednesday, August 23rd. Of this year. So I am going to formally adjourn our meeting and just join the podcast. And if anyone has any questions for Emily or myself, feel free to email us or give us a call. And thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate your time and your interest. Take good care, everybody.